In the Red, dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 3, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Stephen Moore and Stephen Fry.
This is BBC Radio News. And with an update on the latest bank manager murder, we go straight to our crime correspondent, George Cragg. Hello, George. George, can you hear me?
Hello?
George, it's Gemma here.
Ah.
George, you're at the scene of the crime.
Well, I'm in the general area, yes.
Same again, is it, George?
What can you tell us?
Well, Gemma, the bank manager murderer has struck again. His fifth victim, a Mr. Alan Jeopardy, has been manager of the NatWest in Ealing for 5 years. Described by colleagues as a quiet gentleman, he was found dead in his office this morning, having swallowed approximately 50 pound coins.
There you go, mate. Quite a Guinness.
That's all I can tell you at the moment, Gemma.
Thank you, George. George Cragg there, in the Ealing area. For an assessment of the economic implications of the murders, we've got Max Parker, our economics correspondent, in the studio. Max.
Hello.
What are the implications of this latest murder for the government, Max?
Well, I'd like to quote The Times, Gemma.
Yes, I thought you would.
Yesterday's leader rightly says, these bank manager murders are being seen in some quarters as a politically motivated attack on the greed and the sleaze of a Tory society.
Anything else, Max?
Cricket scores. Not really relevant. Ah, yes, the restaurant review. Now, this seems pertinent. Given the present financial climate, nobody in the city seems to have the stomach for Mr. Carraway's legendary saddle of lamb.
I'll have the saddle of lamb, Dennis.
Well done.
Yes, Mr. Nicholas. And here's your personal tureen of soup.
Ah, well done, Oswald.
What an appetite.
Now, as I was saying...
As you were saying?
I'm a city man of the old school.
Where's the bolly?
Ah, half of these new buggers are pathetic, for crying out loud. It's all very well sounding like an extra from My Fair Lady if all you're flogging is a stolen video recorder. When it comes to dealing on the international markets. You mean breathing.
Right. Hey, fill you up, old man.
Well, you can try. Hasn't been done yet. Cheers. Now, who was it said, lunch is for women? Lunch is not for women.
No, I've seen the saddle of lamb. Man's meal, if ever there was one.
Lunch, as a wise old broker once said, is...
Forever!
Oh, bless you, Oswald.
What's the matter, Ben? Little too much
queer in the ministry, eh?
I've got something stuck in my throat. It's like a toy or something.
Well, look, cough it up and you can suck it at one of those Lloyd's names being outside the underground.
No.
Ossie?
Get a doctor, somebody! Quick!
I think it's too late for a doctor, boy.
Why?
He's dead.
And for an extra point, Frank Muir, what was the panel game?
Tea and Symphony?
Is correct. Tea and Symphony, the 1982 radio show in which panelists scored points by recounting experiences which had taken place during, before, or after classical recitals.
Awfully good.
And that brings us to the end of On the Game, the radio panel show, all about radio panel shows.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Martin? Charles.
Oh, how's life at Radio 2?
Marvellous. And form?
Bearable, I suppose. I've just been listening to another of my pointless bloody panel games. Why do I let them make this rubbish?
Because you can't be bothered not to?
Ah, yes, that'll be it. So, how are things on Radio 2?
What? Planet Music? Oh, chugging along. Or rather, ing along, as ever. Anyway, I enjoyed our little chat the other day.
Yes.
You haven't changed your mind, have you, Martin? About getting rid of the Director General and replacing him with our...
Carl's not here. The phone might be...
What, bugged? I doubt it, old man. The BBC hasn't got the resources to listen at the door with a whiskey tumbler, let alone bug the phone.
I suppose you're right. Anyway, no, I haven't changed my mind about the Director General. He's got to go, but how?
Well, as I said the other day. It has to be some disastrous project which we get him to back.
But which cannot be traced back to us.
Exactly.
Hmm. Got it. How about a ridiculously expensive series which gets terrible ratings, scathing reviews, and questions raised in every household in the country about misuse of the license fee?
Brilliant, Martin. Except that half of the corporation's output already fits into that category.
Ah, yes. Yes, it does.
Ah, the illustrious Inspector Jefferson.
Ah, George.
How goes it?
Well, another victim for your news report.
I'm starting to enjoy this.
Death by asphyxiation.
I'm not surprised in this place, Frank, given the cigar smoke and the size of the punters. Yeah. It's a wonder they don't all suffocate halfway through the hors d'oeuvre. Anyway, what was his name?
Oswald Nicholas. He was a banking analyst, popular character by all accounts, old school. Didn't have much time for all this shouting down the telephones, palaver.
What did he have time for?
Lunch.
That explains the belly.
Yeah.
This chap's not so much popped his clogs as Holocaust did him. Hold on, Frank. Did you say this chap's a bank analyst?
That's right.
Well, a bank manager? If this is our serial killer's work, he's got it wrong, hasn't he?
Or decided to extend his repertoire.
So, can I report to the nation the killer struck again?
Forensic are about to check. He could have just choked on his food, which would mean accidental death, not murder.
This is Annie and Sue.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not wanting to tell you your job, Frank.
You're always telling me my job, George. That's the only reason you follow me around.
You can't choke to death on onion soup. Not unless you swallow the bowl as well.
Or one of these.
Now, that's what I call a crouton. The murderer's not giving up with these pound coins, is he?
No.
So, the victim must have choked on one.
It's looking that way.
Hang about. What's this under his plate?
Oh, not another note from the killer.
If I'm not sorely mistaken.
Read it out, George.
Soup, fresh onion and gruyere, entree, settle a lamp. I am sorely mistaken. The bill. With something written on the other side.
What?
Dear banking analyst, I fear your consumption has become somewhat conspicuous. Your futures market is far from bullish. Love, King Midas in reverse.
Bloody hell.
I better get this on the 3 o'clock news.
You should see this letter going on about me over.
Yeah, Andrew.
All I'm asking you to lend me is 200 quid.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry, Andrew, but we don't have that kind of money, do we, CP?
No, sorry, old chap, I'm absolutely stony.
Then why do you drive a Daimler?
Ah, Henry, if I'm broke, why do I drive a Daimler?
Because you're leader of the Reform Party.
Because I'm leader of the Reform Party.
Right, and you have to be seen to be wealthy, even though the party's on the verge of bankruptcy.
And I have to be seen to be, yes. And all that as well.
Well, you're bankrupt.
Andrew, do you think that we choose to have our headquarters in a pokey Soho office beneath a bondage parlour?
No, no!
Yeah, I know you want to make this demo tape, Andrew, and change the world with your protest song, but you cannot...
200 quid!
No, you cannot accept money from the Reform Party. Right, now, goodbye!
50!
That boy seems a touch disturbed.
He's like Norman Bates with a guitar. Sooner he gets evicted from downstairs, the better.
So, Henry, what am I going to say in the law and order debate in the Commons today?
Whatever I write for you.
Which will be?
Well, obviously, it's got to pick up on yesterday's financial murder.
Oh, yes, spot on. Latest financial murder. Why?
Because for the first time since 1903, people are listening to the leader of the Reform Party.
Marvellous, isn't it? Henry, why don't I leave all this thinking business to you?
Yeah, I'm not asking you to do any thinking. I just want you to do some saying.
Yeah, and I've been saying some tremendous things lately, even if I say so myself.
Yes, and even if I write so myself.
Quite. Now, on to more important things. Lunch!
Yeah. CP, it's barely 11 o'clock.
Hardly the issue, Henry. Lunch requires careful planning.
Yeah, and so does your speech.
Now, that's your job.
Hello, CP.
Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm going basking down the House of Commons. Listen to this, right?
Debt to the rich! Why don't I drop you off in the Daimler?
Oh. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, Frankie.
Well, I've never known a killer like this one, George. Yeah. All my years in Scotland, yeah. Not satisfied with bumping off bank managers, he's now into financial party analysts. Before you know it, you'll be machine-gunning old ladies as they queue up for their pensions.
Yeah. I've had some joy with Inchcape.
Oh, yeah.
Victim with the bruised buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
I have reason to believe this is the mysterious AA which we found scribbled in Inchcape's diary the other day.
What? Auntie Agony? 40 Berwick Street, West Park.
Mm. She came grown men for money. Mr. Inchcape was a normal bank manager by day. Then come evening, he'd nip into Soho for his regular fix of smack, so to speak.
Well, that'll explain the state of his posterior. Who gave you this information, by the way?
Oh, just a little contact of Westminster. I must protect my sources.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
It was the government chief whip.
How would he know?
He's a senior member of the Tory party. How wouldn't he know?
Auntie Agony. Beats me. Here, why do successful men need women like that?
All I can do is to quote that great conservative axiom. If it isn't hurting, it isn't working.
Hey, talking about discipline, weren't you on some sort of charge?
Well, anti-admin and a rolled-up rule book. Apparently the personnel officer hasn't left his office since I walked out of the meeting.
A disciplinary interview once convened continues to sit. A disciplinary interview once convened continues to sit. Is that you, Mr. Craig?
Good Lord, Fortescue, is that you?
I'm Hercules Fortescue, personnel. Who are you?
I'm the controller, Radio 4. You know that big thing which transmits to the nation most days?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm not feeling myself at the moment, sir.
You look absolutely dreadful. Wait a second. Fortescue, surely you're not still waiting for George Cragg and his disciplinary interview?
That is correct, sir.
How long have you been sitting here?
5 days, sir. A disciplinary interview once convened continues to sit. That is the procedure, and I am bound by my contract as a loyal BBC employee to obey.
But at least go to the canteen and eat something.
The rules make no provision for consumption of comestibles during a disciplinary interview, sir. I will remain here until Mr. Cragg returns.
And if he doesn't?
I am prepared for my fate. I will not be beaten. George Cragg is a mere crime correspondent. He's not above the rules of this corporation. And I'd rather die than bring his disciplinary meeting to a premature close.
Fair enough. Well, if you do pass away in here...
Yes, sir.
Try to fall in the out tray. There's a good man. Should speed things up a little.
Kill them all, assure them that's all. Let's put the capitalists up against the wall. Men in suits, eating the fruits of all our labour! Kill!
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Yeah, what is it? Is this where I queue for the House of Commons?
Yeah, you just want to stand just over there.
Oh, thanks. Here.
Oh, wow. That's generous.
No mention.
Sure, that'll come in handy.
Kill them all, the short and the tall. Let's put the capitalists up against the wall. Medicines!
Oh, God. I hate this place.
Why's that, George?
Oh, no particular reason, Max. Apart from the fact that it's old, cold, and contains 635 of the most obnoxious, lying, self-opinionated git in the country.
I prefer the expression members of parliament, myself.
Mm-hmm. Suit yourself. This commentary box has all the space and charm of the leader of the opposition's pencil case.
Yeah. Eight-legged finance.
Pardon?
Three down. Eight-legged finance. What do you reckon?
Oh, no idea.
Woman's room never used to be this tough.
Shouldn't you be preparing your piece for the broadcast?
Can't. Left my FT in the pub. And the woman's room doesn't have a financial page. Oh, does it? Why are you here, George? I thought you were out chasing the psychic.
That's why I'm in this dump.
Mm.
The Home Secretary's making a statement about the bank manager notice.
Ah, yes. Interesting.
Mm. Well, seeing as you're doing a live report in 29 minutes' time, Max, it might just be relevant.
How's your murder investigation going?
Well, my guess is the killer isn't just some little oik with an overdraft and a grudge.
Money spider.
What?
Eight-legged finance, money spider.
Take a look at Peter Anderson, Max.
Who?
Peter Anderson. Minister of State at the Home Office. Lazy so-and-so. Fast asleep on the front bench.
Oh, I see him.
Maybe he's acting out government policy.
What's his job?
He spends half his time writing Home Secretary speeches, poor sod. Can you imagine that? And to try and make that evil swine sound caring and rational.
I couldn't do it.
Yes, you could. You just photocopy the Shadow Home Secretary speeches and hand them to your boss.
True. True.
All right. And the Reform Party alone, which can save this country and its bank manager is big. Crikey, I thought he'd gone busking.
Oh, it's you.
Can I come in, dear?
Yes, of course. You're not working this afternoon.
I always have Monday afternoons off, dear. I hang up the whips, take off the leathers, and Auntie Agony becomes plain old Cheryl Brown.
Cheryl?
Yes.
You look a little worried, Cheryl.
I've just had a phone call from the police.
You must get them all the time.
Oh, this was different. They want to talk to me about the bank manager murders.
This new tax, which amounts to a breaking of our tax pledges in the manifesto...
Bored does not even begin to describe how I feel, Max.
Oh, yeah.
I should be out grappling with a murderer. Not stuck in the House of Commons waiting to report on the Home Secretary's dribbling speech.
George, call for you on the portable.
Eager. Oh, God. Who can that be?
I bet it's that Burke Fortescue and his disciplinary interview.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, Fortescue, I am not coming back to that disciplinary. Do you understand?
George, I thought I'd catch you here.
Who is this?
You know who this is, or rather, you don't. Looking forward to the debate.
Look, why...
As the infamous bank manager murderer, I plan to have my say, of course.
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry, George. I've run out of coins. Isn't it always the way?
Hello? Hello?
Who was it?
The murderer.
Oh, again?
Why me? Why does he always ring me?
You've got a nice telephone manner.
Thank you, my dear. Your good health, Martin.
Cheers, Charles. So, any ideas?
No. Difficult. How can we, as the controllers of two radio networks...
National radio networks.
National radio networks, persuade a man of such infinite ignorance as the DG to finance a project so disastrous as to destroy his reputation?
Worth bolstering ours.
It's a challenge, Martin, I'll give you that. I have enough trouble persuading the man to finance a cold buffet once a year for the light entertainment department. Oh, by the way, have you seen the telegram today?
No, why?
Listen to this. It's thought that at least one radio network may be axed in plans being drawn up by BBC chiefs.
Good Lord.
That's it, Martin. We are waiting no longer.
Now, hold on, Charles. Let's try and be calm about this.
It goes on to say that the leading candidate for the chop is Radio 4.
Well, that does it, Charles. The time for talking is past.
Yes, that's exactly what they're saying about Radio 4.
We've got to get on with it, Charles. We must save Radio 4. Or rather, we must save radio as a whole. But how?
How can we ensure the safety of public service broadcasting for future generations?
How can we ensure the safety of our own jobs?
I've got it. I do believe I've got it.
What?
Laughter.
Laughter?
Comedy.
Comedy?
BBC One. Comedy. Laughter.
Sounds an unlikely combination, but go on.
Well, we've agreed that what we need is a disaster.
Huh?
Yes. So, we get the DG to stake his reputation in a new comedy show so unfunny, offensive, ill-conceived, misguided, badly planned and over budget that you couldn't even transmit it at 3:30 a.m. on border television, let alone 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening.
Brilliant! Sorry, when?
7 p.m. on a Sunday evening.
But that's outrageous.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that when Songs of Praise goes out?
Not when the BBC scrap it and replace it with our show.
But they won't do that. Will they?
Oh, yes. We'll make quite sure of that, Martin. Now, the only thing is, Managing Director Radio in Waiting?
Yes. Director General Designate?
Given the religious sensitivities of a Sunday audience, what should we call our little show?
How about... Oh, Jesus.
Did
and you go by the name of Auntie Agony.
Look, I didn't know that punter was a bank manager. I didn't know he was going to end up being murdered the next day. When he came up here, he came willingly. He gave me the dosh and I gave him the treatment.
And?
He went away.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Oh, no. He enjoyed it, dear. Look, if you want to know what it's like, just hand us 50 quid and then I can
Madam, please, I'm a policeman.
Oh, well, you get a group discount then.
What?
Well, it's a bad day's business when I haven't had a few of your chums in here. There's D.I. Dalton. Now, he resists arrest while I read him his rights.
Look,
and then, and Sergeant Wyatt, the dog handler. He likes me to put him in a studded muzzle. And then he barks.
Yes,
and
I think I've heard enough. Thank you, Miss Agony. None of this changes the fact that Mr. Jeremy Inchcape, a client of yours, is lying naked on a mortuary slab with a hole made by a flying pound coin right through the middle of his skull.
Now, that is kinky.
He's dead! As are several other bank managers. And, as of this afternoon, Oswald Nicholas, City Financial Analyst.
I don't think I know him.
All right, well, now, what time did Mr. Inchcape leave you the other night?
It must have been about 8 p.m.
And can you provide an alibi for the rest of the evening?
Oh, yes. Tuesday's my busy night. I've got these three law lords with a Beverly Sisters fetish. They all dress in blonde wigs and they sing out a tune and I punish them.
Blonde wigs. And, yes, well, one last thing. Can I ask you who else lives in this building?
Well, beneath me, there's, what are they called? The Reform Party.
Reform Party.
And in the basement flat, there's I don't know his name. He's a busker, that's all I know.
Busker?
Odd-looking chap. Wears old socks. Oh, yeah, I remember now. His name's Andrew. Andrew James.
George, we're about to go on the air. Sit down.
Right, Max.
You've got to make a quick broadcast before the Home Secretary starts his speech.
But the killer told me when he phoned he was going to have his say here in the House.
So the killer's an MP.
Don't be stupid, Max. It means he's going to kill someone, which means he's got to be here somewhere. Maybe he's in the public gallery.
George, sit down.
We're on air in 20 seconds. You first, Max.
But I haven't got anything to say.
But you're the economics correspondent.
Exactly.
Count to three and...
Welcome to our live coverage of the Home Secretary's Emergency Law and Order speech here in the House of Commons. It would seem these days that the government is being held responsible for everything, including the bank manager murders. And here's an interesting development. The front page of the Sunday Sports declares that the murderer is Elvis Presley. Over to our crime correspondent, George Cragg.
Thank you, Max. We now go down to the floor of the House, where the Home Secretary is getting to his feet. He's taking a statement from Peter Anderson.
Madam Speaker, I appeal to this House.
Now you pull me down.
I implore the sympathy and decency of all honourable members. This is the Law and Order Government. We shall do everything in our power to assist the police in their quest for the bank manager murderer. Madam Speaker, there are 8 compelling reasons why the government deserves the support of this House. And now you're on your own, you old bastard.
What name is this you've given me to me? What's going on, Peter?
Answer me!
Well, I must say, this is all rather unusual. The Home Secretary, having made a brief and certainly novel statement, seems to have attacked one of his ministers of state. And it's now developing into a free-for-all down there. Everyone's fighting. And amazingly, members of the government are fighting each other. It was a hefty thump. The Prime Minister has just laid out the Minister for Education. And one moment. I actually think... Max, you take over.
What? Well, the House of Commons is now the scene for what can only be described as roaring.
attack. Oh, good Lord. Someone's jumped down from the stranger's gallery and is attempting to get to the Minister of State. It's George Cragg.
Stop fighting! He's dead! He's dead. The Minister of State, Mr. Peter Anderson, has been murdered.
Hello, banker, my old friend. Listen to this song which I have penned. It's not Placido Domingo that you listen to on your Technic stereo. Now listen to the sound of violence. The sound of violence. The sound of violence. The sound of violence. The sound of violence.
In the Red was dramatized by Mark Taverner and Peter Bainham from the novel by Mark Taverner. Episode 3 starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Stephen Moore, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Benjamin Whitrow, Julian Reintutt, Peter Serafinovich, Nicholas LaPrevost, Eva Stewart, Alice Arnold and Simon Greenall. And also featured Oliver Senton, Peter Yap, Toby Longworth, Geoffrey Holland and Tim Hope. Music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Red is script edited by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.